Welcome to Let's Talk About It, co-hosted by Maria Wyatt and Scott Dudley. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXOradio.com.
Good morning, Imperial Valley. You're listening to Let's Talk About It, your weekly wellness radio. We are brought to you by 88.7 Radio Bilingue and Imperial County Behavioral Health. Scott, it's been a while.
You don't ever do that in the morning.
I know.
Ever.
Our phone number here in the station is 337-8874.
Yeah, we're also sponsored by Behavioral Health.
Yeah, it's Behavioral Health.
All right. Good morning, Imperial Valley. Welcome. How are you?
I hope everybody's doing well. I hope everybody is safe at home and going back to work, everything fine, going back to normal.
Okay, since Maria hopes that it's there.
Due to the earthquake that happened on Easter Sunday, so.
The anniversary day quake. Mm-hmm. That's what we're calling it. It's because you never know what day Easter's on every year, right? It's always like switches. It's always on Sunday, but it's, you know, various dates. It was on my 14th wedding anniversary. So if we call it the anniversary day quake, we always know what day it was on.
Sounds good to me.
Okay, so Scott's anniversary quake day.
Okay.
And we got a guest today, and his name is Jim Shin. Jim is a licensed clinical social worker, currently working for Sunshine Counseling, his own little mom-pa counseling.
I like that. Mom-pa.
It's cool, man.
Corner store.
It is.
Corner counseling store.
It is. You know, Walmart started somewhere, right?
Yeah. I'm not interested in that. Small is better.
Yeah. And you've been going for how long now?
Couple years.
Well, year and a half.
My own private practice. I've been
forever.
That's right. It's been over 20 years. But actually, getting together, it's been a year and a half. We had a little office over on 8th Street, and then we just kind of recognized, there was four of us three of us at that time in one office, and so then we expand over on Ross, right next to Buckland Park, in the Ross Wellness Center, and it's really neat because it's like a half a block from my house. I can just walk over there.
Great.
Yeah.
So what type of counsel you do over there?
Well, there's four of us. My background is in, as you well know, working with substance abuse and dealing with depression, anxiety, and some marital counseling. You know, I've worked with kids in school settings for over 20 years. So in my private work, I don't really like to work with kids because I work full-time at Calexico Unified with kids. So that's kind of me. The other people, I'll just kind of go in alphabetical order. Norma Munoz, she had a private practice in Mexicali for 9 years. Mm-hmm. She came over here and she had to get retooled through University of Phoenix. She's an MFT intern. She's excellent with anxiety. Dealing with trauma, just all different types of problems, couples counseling. We do a lot of couples counseling. Yeah, all the therapists do a lot of couples work. And then we have Florentino Olivas, who you guys know. He's a clinical social worker with behavioral health, and he's with us part-time. And he does everything. He's got a very strong background in abuse, child abuse, because he worked at CPS. And he's also, everything. And then Bob Whalen, he's a school psychologist, Calexico Unified, and he's done a lot of outpatient counseling. He's done a lot of more pastoral stuff. Mm-hmm. He's a pastor. He's trained in a Christian university and done a lot of groups. And and since he's a psychologist, any client that deals with any kind of disabilities, ADHD, stuff like that, I mean, he's done the range. And it was funny, he was telling one story where he saw this worship team at the church that is up in Oregon, and he's looking at it. And we all know that sometimes musicians, like a lot of artists, have issues, right? They come from oftentimes very dysfunctional backgrounds. And Bob is looking up at the nine people on the stage playing music. He's going, my gosh, eight of them are my clients. But anyway, so we have a wide range of people. Norma is full-time, and so she's there during the day. So people could actually walk in and see Norma. The rest of them are part-timers. Mm-hmm. I don't really see too many new clients because I also supervise some social workers, for their licensing. So, we need more services in Imperial Valley, and we have two bilingual folks, so that's a good thing.
Very cool. Which one of you is lead guitarist? And when's your next gig? You guys going to Coachella?
The Fab Four.
Cool. Welcome, Jim. Yeah. And hey, we got you aboard today because we have something like in the community that happened that we can kind of talk about.
We talked about right now.
Bounce around a little bit. Literally roll with and shake this up and see what comes out.
It was major. You know, it was major. I mean,
we know now, don't we?
And Calexico is still trying to recover from it.
Absolutely. Mexicali got even worse. But I've lived here all my life. And the quake in 79, I was in graduate school in Fresno. And so people say, hey, what happened to El Centro? I go, I don't know. You know,
I was here. I was here.
But, you know, I...
And that was before Google iPhones, so you couldn't just, like hit your app and figure out how big the epicenter was. And
right. And I, you know... Usually when we have earthquakes, I just kind of giggle, you know.
You just don't want
to. No big deal. It's part of it's just part of life in the valley, right? Hot summers, occasional earthquake. But this one, I was at my house, and man, I thought I was in the middle of a special effects movie. It was just no, really. That was my experience because I could, you know, what I see, what we all see on TV is so much special effects in the movies, and I'm going, wow, this is major. I mean, and I didn't freak out that much because. I do, you know, in schools, you're trained to do stuff. I was right inside the doorway, and I'm sitting right in there, and I knew the family was okay. But, wow, I go, this is major.
I immediately started
worrying about the rest of the community because it was a rattler.
Mm-hmm. So how can you go back? How can you just get over that? I mean, you know, people are still worried. You know, there's some people in Mexico who are still not afraid to go into their house because we're still getting, you know, these aftershocks. Mm-hmm. And some of them are pretty strong aftershocks, where you just, you know, it rumbles for a little bit, and then, okay. And, you know, people are still afraid. They're still afraid that, you know, a lot of people in the mobile home parks, you know,
they didn't realize it was that mobile.
Yeah, exactly.
Gave new meaning to the word mobile.
And kids, too. And kids are afraid. Sometimes they don't. And parents, too. You know, I sent... That was on a Sunday. On Monday, I sent my daughter to school, to preschool. And a lot of people, why did you send her, you know, that I wouldn't have sent my daughter or my son, you know, back to school because, you know, it's an earthquake. Mm-hmm. Well, and I go, well, I can't live my life with a what if. You know, I can't live with my life.
But I think, Maria, you're a person who has a high level of trust, you know, and some of the people have low levels of trust. And that's not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of the way they are. Emotionally,
yes.
And I'll give you an example. I use my wife, and she's okay with that. The fact that I,
hi, Carol, nice to see you.
She's not listening. I mean, she's dealing with the grandson, you know, taking him to school. But she grew up in an alcoholic family, okay, and her dad was aggressive and violent, and he died at a young age. And so she is a trauma survivor, and so when she is anxious, and she's also an asthmatic. So you know,
there's an earthquake.
Yeah, you know, and so you know, when she would get sick. And they live in Plaster City.
It comes out of nowhere, and all of a sudden, boom, there you are.
And you live in Plaster City. And so that's the other thing. You're isolated. And so, you know, me, I don't even really think about earthquakes until somebody brings it up. Because I grew up in a stable family. My mom and dad, they were basically pretty normal. My dad was dysfunctional, but there was no high levels of aggression or unpredictability. And so last night, we're just sitting there, and I reach over. My wife's in the Lazy Boy, and I just kind of act, you know, not even consciously. I just, right? And she just, you know, she jumps. You know, because she is still reacting to, you know, and it's a kind of a post-traumatic. Mm-hmm. So if you're a person who's experienced trauma, I think it's going to take a little longer to kind of feel a little bit more settled and comfortable. Mm-hmm. But if you're a person like yourself who, you know, feel pretty secure with the surroundings and you haven't had a lot of bad experiences, then you feel okay sending your child to school, you know. So
this gives us, it's because it's a big event and it's something that we all kind of commonly shared, it gives us kind of a chance individually to see how we relate to a big event like this. And as you suggest, if you're one of those people who's a little bit more maybe wired up to respond to environmental threats, like some trauma people are, or some people who are just raised in more reactive type of environments, you may find yourself experiencing inside aftershocks.
Absolutely.
Moments of anxiety.
I like that. Inside aftershocks. And using my wife as an example, I mean, she has nightmares all the time prior to this, you know, and so she has nightmares. And you know, nightmares are kind of a normal response to stressful events, you know. I didn't have them, but if you have some nightmares, there's certain things that are common responsible to stress. You know, you could be a little bit more nervous. You could be kind of angry. You could be having some nightmares and things like that. And so for a lot of people, it's just going to take them longer, you know, whereas some other people, they're going to kind of, the inner aftershocks are going to go away quicker.
So how long? I mean, when is it normal? When should people, you know, if they're still experiencing that anxiety that a month later, is that okay?
Well, it's real uncomfortable to experience anxiety,
mm-hmm.
okay? I'm a more of a depressed person. No, I'm serious.
We're
wired differently, you know, and I'm a more of a person who get depressed mm-hmm. over stuff, okay? Anxiety, and I don't experience it that often, but mm-hmm. I do experience it. We have a fundraiser this Saturday. All week I've had anxiety about, is everything going to be okay? Mm-hmm. But, you know, you guys have done this, and so your question was when?
How long? Yeah. And I mean, if they're still experiencing...
I think it depends on certain circumstances, because the anxiety, one of the main things about the anxiety, obviously, is, you know, they've lost control. But if you've lost your home, you know, that's such a major, mm-hmm. much more serious, because I visited the shelter. Red Cross has a shelter down at Ryerson's at the, mm-hmm. the golf park down there. I went down there and I just talked to a social worker. Her name is Ann, and just wanted to kind of, and there weren't that many families in the shelter, but there were some Calexico families. One of my students waved at me, you know, and one of the things is that if you've lost your home, bam, you know, it's going to take you a lot longer. Now, at our house, what'd we lose? We got a crack in the ceiling, and we lost a bunch of knickknacks. We got the TV, too. That was $400. But, you know, we have financial resources, you know, so you got some people, I had some
TV wasn't really, you know, can you re-examine the whole TV thing anyhow, right?
Yeah, you know, like I say, for me, that was just a little credit card slice to solve that problem. Mm-hmm. But you have, you know, people, they fear, not only they fear for their safety, I mean, that's mm-hmm. a major one, they fear for their living situation, because some places are being condemned, you know, and then they fear for their kids, because, you know, if you have a lot of kids, like our kids are all grown, and we have the grandson, but, you know, he's got a lot of adults around him, so this, you know, when they have a lot of support, then it's a lot easier. But imagine the single mother, four kids, and her house has been red tagged. You know, until which time?
Where are they going to live?
Yeah, that system gets restabilized. Now that doesn't mean they're going to necessarily have a mental health disorder,
mm-hmm.
but I wouldn't relax in those. You know, until which time I knew that I had money coming in, I had a place to go home to, and that I knew that, you know, everybody was mm-hmm. going to be okay. But, you know, if you're in a shelter, how can you really, you know that, right?
So it almost sounds like it's you know, as we kind of look at this, we stand back and look at the last week and a half kind of from a mental health perspective, it's almost not like we're doing earthquake coping at this point. We're almost looking at it and saying, okay, now who needs other kinds of problem coping, like coping with housing or coping with relocation or coping with financial problems that this thing caused, and maybe what can we do to support stuff like that?
There was I got some different materials. The one I got from the Red Cross folks is...
If you could hold that up so the people on the radio could see it, that would be...
Can you see this? Anyway, it says, listen, protect, and connect. Okay? And I like that. It's really, you know, first off, people really need to be listened to, because even though I may be in crisis, some people, they can get a point to acceptance and say, you know, I accept that I have cancer and I have to go through all these the medical procedures and stuff like that. And they can have peace about that. As long as they have some people around to listen to them and validate their feelings, you know, I mean, it makes it even harder if you say, gosh, I'm kind of scared. And somebody says, oh, shut up. Don't be a baby.
Get over it.
Yeah, get over it. And in my work in grief work, people hear that. You know, and it just exacerbates their pain and suffering. Yeah. So part of it, they need somebody to listen to. They need good information and accurate information because, you know, as we know, you know, one of the common mental health treatments is cognitive therapy. You know, people have these false or unrealistic beliefs. Now, and one of the things that helped me is the fact that, you know, in the United States, people generally do not die from earthquakes because we have our housing, relatively speaking, is pretty good.
That's been, and this has really proven that beyond any sort of reason, you know, it's like you want evidence based right now. Smaller quakes in Turkey and China, or in Haiti and China, were devastating to those populations. We just went through something quite a bit bigger.
Yeah.
And
Chile, it was, I mean, the latest, where was it, Haiti, Chile, us, and then China?
Yeah.
We've only had two.
Yeah. China yesterday, I think it was 6 point something.
Yeah, 6.8 or 9.
And like, already over 300 people died.
Exactly.
Part of that is, you know, just different systems. In the United States, we have much better housing. We have a lot more lawyers, and we have a lot more rules and regulations. And so one of the things people need to know is chances are you're not going to die, you know, in an earthquake period. You know, me, I'm going to get it because I'm a bad driver. Mm. I'm a bad driver. or, you know, it's going to be heart disease. I'm taking, you know, my cholesterol medicine. Or it's going to be, you know, cancer. Those are the things that really nail most Americans, you know. So in our heads, we need to recognize that, you know, we're not going to die over this. And if people can listen to some of our feelings and validate them and go, or give us accurate information, well, nobody got hurt. That was the thing. That was my mantra. Everybody's okay. Everyone, because I wanted to bring my wife down, you know, because I no telling what's going through her head, you know. But I, you know, we can't stop, and we have kids and the neighbors and everything saying, let's stop and talk about where your cognitions are and decide which are false. And you know, no, just nobody got hurt. It's just some stuff that can be replaced, and so we need to be listened to. The other one is protect. Is we need that safety and security, Maslow's hierarchy. You know, we got to get people food, shelter, and some security, sense that things are going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And then the last one they point out is being connected to resources. Like you talked about the financial, you know, maybe for the first time a family needs to go on welfare and get some financial aid or some type of housing. And the whole FEMA stuff, I don't have a clue about that, you know, because I've, you know, the only last time this place was maybe FEMA was the either the last earthquake and I wasn't around or the flood, which was in, I think that was in 77, the big flood.
Tropical storm.
Yeah. So when it comes to FEMA, and I've lived here all my life, I have no clue about that. Mm-hmm. But there are people who do, like people in the Red Cross, and there's probably people in behavioral health who are more emergency trained than myself. I'm emergency trained as it relates to school in crisis. I'm part of the Calexico crisis team. And most of our interventions historically have been on a suicide of a student, a student who dies in a car accident, or more than one student in a car accident, or a teacher, you know, who, you know, I worked at DM's my second week there. A teacher died from a heart attack, and they asked me to go in the classroom, and I'm just going to go, hello, I've never done this before, you know, so take it till you make it, right?
So with connecting, let's go back to that last, listen, protect, and connect. The connecting is really kind of touching base, getting, you know, just talking to people, figuring out where there are unmet needs, and figuring out who has the keys to that unmet need, who can get that met for people.
Yeah, and there's research. And let me just tell you, you want to say that, Mary?
No, and I guess they are having, in Calexico, they're having some, or was it in Heber? They're having some resources and people going out to visit, screening people and seeing where their needs are, trying to find out what their needs are.
One of the things we're doing, and we just had a meeting yesterday, because as you well know, Calexico Unified is shut down in terms of having kids come to school. But the administrative district office is up and running, and a lot of the, I think at most of the schools, the administrations are there, the principals are there, and the secretaries. But the facilities are a mess. You can't have people going on in unsafe settings.
So in Calexico, it's called the spring break quake.
The spring break quake.
It's extended. Spring break.
And, you know, the reality is, if you're going to have it timed, this is a good time.
It was perfect.
Yeah, you know, thank you, God. I appreciate that, and I'll tell you. But anyway, one of the things we're going to do, because we have all these counselors and psychologists who are up, and so the plan, it was kind of facilitated by Hortensia Arvendades. She's the director of Family Resource Center in Calexico. We had a meeting. There was about 50 of us crammed in the Family Resource Center. And she is in contact with Mike Horn from Behavioral Health and probably some other staff. And what we're going to do, we're organizing teams of three or four counselor types. And we're going to go out to different places in the community, and we're going to be available. For instance, I'm not sure, like, DeAnza, but down the street from DeAnza, in the place we're going to go, like, Neighborhood House, the libraries, churches. But DeAnza, we might be at the Methodist Church, which is just four blocks away from this. And so, you know, through the communication system, we are going to try to communicate where we're going to be, and we're going to do some kind of workshop, more like safety education, emotional safety education, kind of what are normal responses that kids have to crisis. And what are some things that could be helpful? Again, reviewing some of the listen, connect, and what we'll do is a short presentation to, like, let's say we have 30 or 40 parents. I don't know if we, you know, a lot of parents have returned some kind of sense of normalcy. But the ones who are, where their anxiety is higher, they need some validation or at least need some information. And so we'll have this little presentation for maybe a half hour, and then we'll break into some small groups where we can sit and listen to them and identify mm-hmm. some of their concerns. And we'll have referrals for the Family Resource Center. If anybody, we assess anybody as being very, very upset, very anxious, or, you know, where their normal coping mm-hmm. isn't working. And so they need more than mm-hmm. just, you know, some social support.
Great. You guys are going to be going throughout the community and doing that? Just scheduling it?
The idea we discussed, you know, it's not set mm-hmm. in stone, is to kind of have a geographic, you know, because we have, I think, probably 13 schools in Calexico, if you, you know, count them all, and trying to have them kind of geographically dispersed around, and then have each school call all its mm-hmm. families and say, and of course, more junior high students possibly going to the one where the GANSA mm-hmm. staff is going to be, you know. But again, it's, you know, we were sitting just brainstorming, starting mm-hmm. from ground zero, and there's a state emergency department person with Calexico Unified who's kind of helping. You know, one of the things he said, you know, this is, you know, we can really develop mm-hmm. kind of a model for way things could possibly be done in the future, because earthquakes aren't going to go away. Mm-hmm. You know, we know that about the valley in California. So,
you know, it's funny. I was thinking, even though I'm okay, you know, everything's passed. The earthquake passed. You know,
you are okay. I mean, I know you're using external feedback to figure
but
it out.
But you know
now,
what? It's still, I'm still not, I don't feel safe going to Mexicali.
Well,
but it says that he went yesterday.
Did you feel safe, Mario? No.
He did. He was just the construction. So there's a lot of construction.
There's chaos.
Chaos. Yeah.
See, and that's one of the things that people are, their lives are different levels of chaos. If your house is in a shambles, or if your mobile home is off its state and you can't go in there, that's high chaos, you know. But me, I could go down to Calexico. I say, wow, you know, downtown's all roped off. But in El Centro, I can go anywhere I need to go. And so,
it's like back to normal.
So even though I work...
There's no more water tower.
Wasn't that amazing?
And they took down that block, which was messing me up trying to get my kid to school, so...
Yeah.
That was cool. Yeah, it was very cool.
They took it down in one day.
Having lived in the shadow of that thing my, like, 20-some-odd years, it was very cool.
Yeah, because you lived around there.
I'm going to miss the tower. I really like the tower.
I know.
Let's take a minute and just say goodbye to the tower.
Goodbye, tower.
Don.
But isn't that amazing technology?
So, oh, yeah. And for the next 6 months, we'll be... Well, I was lost because I thought, well, I have to turn around and get to the tower. And I never saw the tower.
I have just three words for you. GPS. Get yourself a little GPS system so you find your way home from work every day.
I've got one, but I don't...
The tower is gone.
But I don't let it talk to my car.
Yeah. But besides that, I mean, Scott and I also experienced some chaos, too. In the last...
That's putting it mildly.
Yes. In the last week, we had to move. Our building also got on State and 14th, also got damaged, has major damage. And we're not sure if we're going to go back. I mean, they have to make sure that it's structurally safe. So imagine the chaos. We have 56 staff that we had to completely move in.
Furniture designed to work in a certain space doesn't always translate into another
everything,
space.
Everything.
But you guys, I don't know. Look at the hospital. The east, the two-story building on the east, two- or three-story building, mm-hmm. that's gone.
That's gone.
Yeah. At our school, my counseling office, which it was an old trailer anyway, mm-hmm. you know.
It was a nice trailer,
you know. And I'm going to tell you, I snuck in. I needed to get some of my stuff, you know, because for this fundraiser, and it was on my email. And so I had to sneak in. And at the inside of the trailer, there was stuff all over the mm-hmm. place. But you didn't have huge cracks, and it wasn't, you know, all slanted and everything. But, you know, in terms of safety and according to the engineers and stuff like that, you know, we can't go back. So we're being relocated, too. Mm-hmm. And that's very stressful, you know. And I went to the hospital to visit a social worker. And they moved all the billing people from this building over into this one. And there's, like, you know, this small room. I mean, not just probably 10 by 10, but they have, like, 12 staff persons and all. You know, and so, if you had your own private cubicle, and then now you got to sit right next to that person who's very annoying. Yeah, these things, you know.
I'm sorry, okay? I try not to be annoying.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, even same with us. You know, before we had a space in our office. Now we don't. And, you know, now we have, you know, staff with desks on the hallways. And,
you know, but we're professionals, you know. And so I've already visualized we're all going to be in a, all our stuff is the counselors and our attendance clerks. We're all going to be in a classroom. Mm-hmm. And I can imagine we're going to be all different parts. But there's no confidentiality for kids, you know, mm-hmm. to talk about stuff. And so maybe they'll have partitions. I don't know. But I've already decided, well, if I have a kid I'm going to talk to, I'm going to give me some tables and chairs and put it out under the tree so we can have that privacy mm-hmm. and we can still meet the needs. But see, as professionals, we're already problem solving. We're knowing what we can do in order to make things better. But some people, they don't do that. You know, it's like the problem solving breaks down and all they have is fear.
So especially, like you said, people who lost their home, you know, and don't have the financial resources to fix their homes or fix their mobile home back.
And they don't have family.
Where do they go? Where do they sleep? You know, they have family. What do they do? Yeah. It's very stressful.
337-8874 is the phone number. Let's talk about it. It's the show. As a professional, I have to take a break. It's top of the hour, and we're going to be right back with more Jim Shin.
Welcome back. You are still listening to Let's Talk About It, your weekly wellness radio for Imperial and Mexicali Valleys. We are brought to you by Imperial County Behavioral Health and KUBO 88.7 Radio Bilingue. Our phone number here at the station is 337-8874.
You're totally back.
I'm totally back.
You know, one thing that kind of, we're back with Jim Shin, licensed clinical social worker, Sunshine Counseling, over on Ross Avenue and longtime Dienza Calexico Bullpup,
Bulldog.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, the one thing that I keep, like, really being impressed about is it's like we've all been recalibrated because used to be when you got, like, 4.0 earthquake, it was like you had an earthquake and you kind of thought about what you needed to do, and some people really quickly took action and other people kind of didn't. But that was kind of like the cut, even 3.5 was, like, used to be the cutoff point mm-hmm. for, like, oh, this is actually an earthquake as opposed to, kind of, sort of, but not really. You know, something for the tourists at home. Oh, gosh, Mom, we're having an earthquake. And it's like we've been recalibrated now, and it's like now 3.5, 4.0 is like,
you keep on typing.
Whatever.
On your computer.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Well, you become desensitized.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly. We get habituated to a higher level of.
But that's for us, you know, where we're back normal in an office and everything, we're safe. But for those people that, you know, like example in Mexicali, you know, a lot of those buildings came down. Luckily, there was nobody there. I've seen the pictures. I haven't gone to Mexicali, but I've seen the pictures, and I. My aunt still doesn't feel safe because, you know, there's a lot of people that still don't feel safe because of their environment, where they're, you know, their situation.
Yeah. I think something else that has heightened anxiety is the fact that not only it was fear, but I think we've all been kind of somewhat traumatized by what we witnessed in Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, 250,000 people died. And the media, one of the things I just wanted to share is we're talking about how do you deal with some of this stuff. And one of the brochures I got from the Red Cross, it's like when bad things happen. Because since we've all seen that, and then bam, you know, it hits us in our own backyard, then I think we do get recalibrated.
The power of us, yeah.
Okay.
And you hear it. And not just that, and you start to hear people, you know, it's another one, okay, there's way too many earthquakes happening. All just in less, you know, a couple of months, you know, Haiti, and then Chile, and then
China, yeah.
And China, like, I don't know if it was Sumatra, somewhere over there, too. So, too many earthquakes going on, and now there are people are already getting scared, and...
One of my geologist friends...
When is the next one going to happen?
One of my geologist friends said that there's an earthquake over, I think, 7.0 or bigger every 2 weeks in the world, and we just never noticed because it wasn't really relevant to us.
They were not.
Well, the other thing is a lot of them happen in jungles.
And they weren't killing people, so.
Right. And that's one of the things about it. I think, and there were some people complaining that we didn't get as much media coverage, and my conclusion about that is, you know, a lot of people didn't die, you know, but when there's the carnage, it becomes much more, and at the same time, you had that mine accident, mm-hmm. so it was a... But let me just share something in terms of some of the things that there's a nice brochure put out by the Red Cross that says, what can I do? And one, avoid media coverage of the event, because that's kind of, it re-triggers those emotions.
Yeah.
And I've done stress management workshops for many years, and I've always said, you know, one thing you can do is just avoid the news sometimes. You need information, but you don't need to see a lot of the negativity.
Everything on, yeah, constantly on.
And my wife, again, she's a news hound, and she wants to know everything, and she's on, she reads the online newspaper, online clicks already, which, to me, I don't think is that healthy, because, again, it kind of keeps you in that traumatic experience. We've already talked about talking out, sharing your feelings, asking for help. If you find your feelings are still as strong and you're still having nightmares or physical problems in 4 to 6 weeks, you should ask your parents. Now, this is kind of directed towards kids or someone else that, you know, who can help you sort through your feelings. So we're still early in the process. And when we talk about, you know, when is it going to actually become a mental health problem, that for some people, it may be immediately because they were already in trauma. Mm-hmm. They were already going through a divorce, or they lost their, I mean, if your home gets crushed, you're immediately, emotionally can be crushed by that experience. But if things, you're having symptoms after 4 to 6 weeks, then that may be more of a important issue. Listening to other people, being kind to others. It's one of the things happened in our neighborhood, which was really nice. Everybody came out and everybody got in a helpful mode. My kids were okay, and so there was a woman down the street. She goes, "My husband, where's, you know?" And so I just went down there because, again, we're counselors. We act, okay? And then he had actually gotten, you know, he was down on the ground inside the house, and he was bleeding. And we got him outside, and then one of our neighbors was a nurse, you know? So we had this whole community thing. And I think that's one of the things about mental health, and me and Scott had emailed briefly about it, is the fact that the social support really has a big impact on your mental health. And if you're a person who is in a supportive environment, family, friends, extended family, and you have access to resources, you've been in the community for a long time, you know people, you know the neighbors, or you know about resources, then it's a lot easier on you. Then, you know, we have a lot of people who have recently immigrated to Imperial County. They don't know the language. You know, I can imagine how difficult.
Yeah. So they came somewhere where there's no earthquake.
So, you know,
welcome.
And if we can reach out to people like that, and that's one of the things.
Sure, they're only isolated because they haven't met us yet, basically.
Right. But don't expect them to reach out to us.
Right.
You know, we need to go beyond and, you know, be kind of, you know, I don't know if you've read any of the books, Random Acts of Kindness. You know, people just go above and beyond. And that's part of part of the American spirit. And that's one of the things about Imperial Valley. We have a lot of great people who are willing to help and do things like that. You know, it's important to spend time with the family and debrief. One of the things that I believe, and you know I've done a lot of support groups, is misery shared is misery diminished. When you're in a group, and I've been in groups, you know, when my dad was dying of cancer, and just to be around some other people who have similar pain, you know, I wasn't alone with my hurt, you know. Even though my wife was with me and she knew my dad, it wasn't her dad, it was my dad. And so just being able to share, and that's one of the things that happens in shelters, is people get in the shelter, they don't feel alone. And so if they can somehow get connected in the community, whether through Family Resource Center, a church, some agency, those are all real positive. It's just a couple other things. Try to return to the usual routine. You know, life is not over. You know, obviously, if you're losing your home, you cannot return to your usual routine. But most people didn't lose their homes. Things got busted up a bit. And so because especially with children, they need structure and they need stability. And that's on us. But sometimes the kids do much worse because the parents are in crisis.
That's right. That's why I send my daughter to school the next day. I go, and she asked me, what if the earth shakes again? It's not going to shake again, I told her. But if it does? I don't think it's going to shake again. But if it does, I'll go pick you up.
Right. Yeah. And that's one of the things is kids need that accurate information, but also need to reaffirm that wherever they are, somebody's going to take care of them. Because the preschool teachers are great. I don't know where your child goes, but I would trust my grandson. He went to the Montessori. Outstanding teachers, you know, everywhere.
My daughter's teacher is Florentina's wife.
Oh, yeah. She's very, very good. The other thing is my pastor was trying to explain earthquakes to his 4-year-old. He has a 4-year-old he adopted, you know. And so he starts talking to about tectonic plates and stuff like that.
Yeah. That's where I would have gone.
Yeah.
And then he shifted gears, and then he just said, you know what? Every time the earthquake, that means God's saying he loves you. because, you know, God is just, he shakes things up to remind you that he's in control, and that all, you know, it's all, and then, you know, then they had an aftershock, and he goes, and little Billy goes, God loves me! You know, so he had this total different reaction. Rather than sky is falling, which is kind of my wife's reaction, it was,
The other one that grandma say, what is it, hot days, cool nights make the earth shiver?
And that...
Why? Because it's shivering.
It explains why it's shivering in a way that takes away some of the fear, because it's all... Oh,
hot
it's
days, cool
nights.
The temperature
night. Differential.
Oh, okay.
Hot days, cool nights. Make the earth shiver.
I didn't get the hot part, because it's not hot yet.
You know, it's beautiful.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so,
no, this is in August, you know, so... But it's a little detail there that kind of normalizes, right? So, and that's what people need. They need some information and normalization, so... says sit under a tree. It you know, says look at a brook, lake, river, or ocean. We don't have that.
Grounding exercises. That's
look at rocks.
Immediately what people
can do. Say more about that.
Grounding is when you get caught up in your thoughts, and
right.
and your thoughts start getting in control of you, so that you're just reacting to your thoughts and bouncing all over the place from one big thought to another big thought, and oh my goodness, and sky, and that can be pretty overwhelming. And one of the ways to break out of that cycle or that pattern when it's happening is to do something called grounding. And what you do with grounding is you tie up your brain with sensory information, and you use that sensory information to make your brain so busy that it can't have all these big
crazy
important thoughts running around.
Yeah.
So you start saying, oh look, the orange textured walls, I see the blue sign, I see the clock that says it's 8:16, and I hear the sound of the computer blowing. And
so you start on the ground.
Okay, so you're grounded with the external reality.
An easy way to remember is you have five senses, and you have, with the five senses, you pick five things that you can see, you pick four things that you can hear, you pick three things that you can smell, you pick two things that you can touch. No, three things that you can touch, two things that you can smell, and one thing that you can taste. And so you use each of your senses to tie up a little piece of your brain, and what that does is the complexity of having to do that task overrides the catastrophic thinking and brings you back into
great activity. Okay, because, you know, in my own life, you know, for many years I played basketball. Why did I do that? Part of it is, and one of the things that's very helpful is get some exercise, you know what, because you build up the bad chemicals, but you get so fixated on those negative thoughts. Whereas when in basketball, I cannot think about my marriage problems or financial problems or my work problems. I think about that snaking ball, getting in the hoop, or stopping, you know, Billy from scoring, you know. And so for me, a long time ago, it was an escape. And, and I don't play as much, but one of the things I do is I garden in just when you said grounding, I'm going, well, you know, it's hard for me to think about my problems when I'm digging holes, you know.
Exactly.
And it involves a lot of those sensory experiences, you know, so I like
that. Keep your mind busy.
Well, and you know, right after this, and my daughter's 8, which I guess is a really cool age to have this happen to you, because eight, you still have to imagine, because you're kind of concrete, you're kind of figuring out the world, and you're kind of beginning to understand science, and at the same time, you've got all this imagination, so anything's possible. And so she's hanging out in the front yard because we didn't just had a big earthquake, and my mom's in town, so grandma's there, and it's the emotional energy is just cooking outside. I'm outside going, whoa, it's like echoing because she's a little bit freaked out, and everybody's kind of honoring her freaked outedness by sheltering her, and maybe that's okay, but boy, I sure feel a lot of energy out here. So I was like, hey, Abigail, you know what? All of your Chef Boyardee cans are on the floor, and those are really low. Why don't you come back in the house and help me put away the lower stuff while I put away the stuff that's way up high? And together, and then we'll be right there together. We'll be safe because we'll be together. And you can help me get the house back in order so we can go back in the house and just, you know, do whatever.
I love that.
And it did. It tied up her little head. You know, it was like...
But the other thing, what kids need to be, number one, they need to be protected. They need to be reaffirmed that everything's okay. But also giving them something to do.
Like, oh, right.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
And how much more okay can you be? Then let's come back inside the house and start picking up.
I like that.
Yeah. So and it seemed to work because now she's completely integrated this experience, and she's cool. I mean, she runs over to the computer now and checks the aftershocks on Google. I showed her that trick, too.
How was her first day of school? teacher was just fairly...
The teacher was extraordinary because the teacher let everybody come into the room, let everybody kind of tell their stories.
Kids love to tell their stories.
Shared experiences, and everybody got to say what they needed to say, and it allowed school to begin again afterwards, because once you got all that energy taken care of and everybody, we had a real shared experience and some people had cool stuff happen, and we're all here and we're all okay.
Right.
Then it's normal.
You know, this is school, mm-hmm. We feel safe. One of the things you just mentioned, and it kind of relates to your grounding experiences, and this is something for kids, they need to express their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
They may not have the emotional vocabulary to do that. And so different activities, whether they just be, like play therapy, mm-hmm. is basically where they can act out a lot of stuff. And my grandson, he does what are called movies. He acts out these movies, and it's just great to watch him. And he's in his own little world. But for some kids, it's art, or some kids, it may be just, dance and jumping mm-hmm. around. And so, kids need to be encouraged to be kids because all of those
emotions come out of their body.
Yeah.
Right. And those are all ways that they kind of de-stress from the experience. And so we need to listen to them, but also respect. And we need not just kids, mm-hmm. all people, we need to respect. And people have different ways of dealing mm-hmm. with their emotions and getting back to a sense of normalcy. It's, not everybody should go into therapy, and that's one of the things that some literature said, the debris thing, assuming that everybody's been through a trauma, needs mental health treatment. Wrong. People can heal themselves, mm-hmm. provided they have some type of a support system. But that's part of the community's responsibility, is to maximize the support available information. Mm-hmm. And again, and there's a lot of neat social connections that just happens in, mm-hmm. in work, in community, in neighborhood.
And that's what's going around. You're going to be organizing in Calexico. And is there anything else going here in El Centro or anywhere else that we know of?
Well, I'm sure that the Red Cross is doing a lot of different things.
So the best way is to contact the Red Cross.
I think that's one of the main resources. I'll give you an example. Our fundraiser, mm-hmm. we're doing it. I'm the president of the Counselor Association. Mm-hmm. It's school counselors K-. And we're having a fundraiser, and we're using the gym at the Baptist Church on Ross and Imperial.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so anyway, I go over there to check on some things, get a key to it, because our thing is on Saturday. And here's the pastor, Pastor Paul Craig, a real good guy, and he's talking to people for Red Cross.
You went over the sheet jump shot.
No, but I saw the basketball hoop. I go, man, maybe if I'm nice, I'll get my own key. But anyway, but he's talking to the Red Cross. Mm-hmm. And so I'm, even though I'm a Red Cross volunteer, I don't do very much volunteering. I just, when they give me a call, I show up. But they have, they're out there doing that. They deal with networks and they deal with systems. And mm-hmm. so I think they're probably in a maximized resource mode,
mm-hmm.
because what happens when there is a crisis, it energizes the system and gets the system going, mm-hmm. and it develops these helping networks. And those of us, a lot of times you can't see it unless you go looking for it. But if mm-hmm. you go look for it, you'll see it.
So there's been a lot of people, who can we donate to, or how can we help people? The best way is to contact the Red Cross.
I think that's the best way, especially locally here.
Yeah.
I go a lot through my church,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's what a lot of people do. But, there's a lot the Red Cross does that, and like I say, mm-hmm. one of the things, and I don't watch as much TV, but in terms of helping Mexicali, there may be resources. Now, our particular church, we have ministries in mm-hmm. in more rural Mexicali, and our pastor was actually going down there. I guess what's the epicenter is, 20 miles out, mm-hmm. kind of south?
Yeah, towards Santa Lucia.
Yeah, and that's where our church goes down. Mm-hmm. But I don't go down and do that because I'm working two jobs. But anyway, they were taking stuff down there. They had a couple thousand dollars worth of food and water and blah, 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 because we have relationships with these people. So you have that informal stuff going on within the church system, but you also have organizations mm-hmm. like the Red Cross. Like I say, I think we're all going on a learning curve, because this one really did shake us out of our, we got recalibrated, and, we're going to think about things differently.
And it's, we're grateful, because a lot of things, yes, we do have a lot of regulations and building codes and strict building codes, and we might complain about it, but, it saved us. It saved us, because I remember, I was only 9 years old when the 79 earthquake hit, but, the building, the county building fell, and I remember the concrete in front of my house just split up, went up, just the sidewalk just cracked, and this time around, I mean, my house, nothing happened. I have a lot of concrete.
And thing about it is, if people don't get hurt or die, mm-hmm. it's a success story. You know, it worked. Yeah. You know,
and maybe that's why. That's I'm glad we didn't have any. Because we didn't have any deaths.
And we didn't have any. You know, Mexicali. You consider Mexicali.
Only two is crazy good.
It's amazing, you know, because I go down there and I look at some of the construction and I don't know everybody about the construction, but a lot of it's, you know, brick,
concrete,
and stuff like that. And wow, and so much of it, and just so many poor people are substandard.
Mm-hmm.
Their housing, they just live in just this really poor housing. But two people, that's what I heard. I mean, I don't know if the numbers have changed, mm-hmm. but and one of them I heard was just somebody doing something stupid. You know, they were not following the earthquake. You know, the earthquake is duck and cover. And one of the things in our school district, they looked at all the desks, and all the desks were okay. So if kids would have been under the desk, if you do what mm-hmm. you're supposed to do during an earthquake, chances are you'll be okay. You just don't go running amok, because that's where you can run into a situation where you get bonked on the head or fall down or get hurt, something like that. But it is actually a really amazing. The fact that mm-hmm. there's been so little death.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
God's grace.
I'm writing that in my rule book. Step one, do not run amok.
Well, that is our, you know,
yeah, that's
called the fight or flight, you know?
But that's the reaction a lot of people would have taken, even though we have been trained, even though we've been told, you know, duck or, you know, take cover. That's the first reaction that they will have, and they will, even though they've had all these things.
It was really hard to move. I don't know about you guys, but the whole concept of running in when it was really hitting there, like, how could you do that? It was like.
But some people are very scared of earthquakes.
Yeah,
they're very, very scared of earthquakes.
Well, the other thing too, which was fortunate in our household, I was in the kitchen, and just right around the corner from the kitchen is the den, and my wife was with our grandson. Mm-hmm. You know. My daughter, she was in the bedroom. She came. We actually had a stepdaughter bonding moment. She just clung to me. You know, I'm underneath, and I really wasn't thinking about her because she's an adult. You know, my wife had taken care of the grandson, Joseph, and so I was just sitting there waiting, and she just goes, boom, and she just went. And then we just waited for a while, and then we just kind of walked outside. But other people, you know, when there's crisis, if they lack information or their problem solving breaks down because of just the overwhelming of emotion or confusion, mm-hmm. bam, they may do some things. But mm-hmm. I think part of it is our training definitely paid off. But I think it's also, you know, God's grace. The fact that it happened on Sunday. I mean, I think at Jefferson School, because of some of the
I've seen the pictures.
Yeah, some kids would have gotten really hurt bad. And, And so... And even if you do everything right, bad stuff can still happen.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, you know, one of the emotional reactions is, why did this happen to me? What did I do wrong? Or why is God mad? Or why is my life always messed up, you know? And it's really easy for people to start beating themselves down cognitively. And that's the reason I need mm-hmm. people around just to listen to them and say, hey, look, you know, it rains on good people and bad people. I mean, you know, bad stuff just happens in this world. And for someone who's going through a bad time, and they're thinking, you know, maybe God's punished me or something like that. You know, the only thing I would say, I read a book many years ago, and I think it's the title of this Red Cross pamphlet is When Bad Things Happen. Mm. But the book I loved, it was When Bad Things Happen to Good People, mm-hmm. and it was written by a rabbi. You guys,
that's a big 70s book, huh?
Yeah, you know, but it really changed my thinking because it said, you know, when something bad happens, it's not God punishing you. It's the fact that bad things happen, and God's going to be there to help you through, you know. And that's one of the reasons that mm-hmm. the spirituality mm-hmm. conference talked about how people with faith have less emotional problems. We have emotional problems like anybody else, mm-hmm. but it's one of those strengths. Though it's one of those things that acts as a buffer, but also the relationships through the church, mm-hmm. you know. Because if something happens, at least in my church,
mm-hmm.
something happens, everybody comes together to help them, you know, whether it's bringing the food, stuff like that. But with people who don't have those resources or they're not connected, it's a lot harder. So then you have, like, the Red Cross and some other things. But, mm-hmm. you know, like I say, you know, it could have been a lot worse, you know.
Well, now you're our special person. So whenever we have drama in the community,
yeah.
we're going to run and get Jim Shin.
And if it does, we'll
do a show about hope.
people. Okay, we're going to back the truck up. I just want to say a couple things. Number one, trauma is not my area of expertise. You know, I mean, I'm a volunteer for the Red Cross, but I haven't done as much as some other people. Like the woman I talked to yesterday, I believe her name was Anne. She's a anyway, she's been to Katrina and stuff like that. Now, we have a lot of experts. Behavioral health has a lot of people. We have, you know, different people. You know, some pastors are very good at counseling. Others, they don't have that expertise. But there's a lot of good people. But the most important thing is just people around us that can listen to us and help us. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to share something in terms of expertise. In my office, Norma Munoz, she's very good with trauma. And I'll give you an example of myself. A couple months ago, we were over in Flagstaff. My other daughter had a baby, and we were over there visiting. You know, we were having this great family moment, me and my daughter and my wife and the baby in this room, and they have a dog, and the dog attacked my grandson, 60 stitches in the face.
Ouch.
It was traumatic. It was traumatic. But anyway, we were so upset. We were so upset. And, you know, we were just like, oh. I mean, we were in the emergency room, plastic surgeons and the whole thing. And so, you know, and I came back, and, you know, and I met with Norma, you know, and I said, you know, I'm traumatized, you know, I'm having, because I'm their supervisor, you know,
you're the boss,
you know, and so I said, I'm having each one of you work with me, and she goes, you want to work on it right now? And I'm going, well, okay, you know, and she worked with me like 20 minutes. Bam, it really helped me. So for people who are really suffering, I mean, a lot of that, 90% of the emotional energy of that experience, because sitting there and watching it, it happened right in front of me. Mm-hmm. Bam. You know, you get all that emotion attached to the experience. And I couldn't help myself, but I was willing to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to someone who could be helpful for me. And like I say, in terms of the research, that someone doesn't have to be a mental health specialist. It can be just a very caring support. It could be your comadre. It could be somebody in your family. Like, I could go and go to my mother with everything. And she was, you know, she was very normal, listening, empathic. My dad, he was kind of a, he just didn't have it, you know. He was just kind of dysfunctional when it came to relationships. So so I'm not the man, okay? I can be helpful, but, you know, I think there's other people out there who have even, you know, have more expertise and have certain skills. Because, and the other thing about just trauma recovery, there's a lot of new stuff coming out. And I'm more of an old dog. You know, my training is, you know, over 20 years ago, and like EMDR. Is anybody behavioral health trained in EMDR?
We're examining it and kind of deciding whether it's going to be the next wave or whether it's going to be a fad.
Yeah.
So that we're right.
Well, that's one of the things. I went through training in EMDR 7 or 8 years, but you got to go through different levels of training, and I continue to look at the research, and it's very, very good. And it's something, especially if we're going to be having more earthquakes. And but I didn't know if anybody who's trained. I have a friend of mine who's a therapist, clinical social worker in El Cajon, and so I'll refer people over there sometime because EMDR is very short term. You get in there, and it's a really a different type of therapy.
And it stands for
rapid eye movement desensitization.
Yeah, I can never. And it's really weird. And what happened was the person who developed it noticed that when you are dealing with traumatic information in your head, your eyes move back and forth, and so it's kind of a very structured type of thing where you talk to people about some stressful things, and then you have them move their eyes back and forth, and it enables them to lose the emotional content of that experience. And the research, you know, for survivors of sexual assault, tornadoes, you know, Katrina, some of these things, the research about EMDR is very good in that it helps with not a lot of sessions, you know, 3 or 4 sessions, but it requires somebody who's very experienced. And I went to the first training, but I don't deal with that many trauma people. And you really have to develop,
yes,
you have to work at it, you know. And so I don't have that expertise. So when you said that, hey, Jim's a trauma guy, I go, wait a minute.
Somebody who has EMDR. And really, I think where I was going more than that is you're a local guy. You're born here. You're kind of one of the faces of the Imperial Valley in a way. As you become an elder now, and you're certainly really engaged in the community.
Did you hear that? What you said?
Hey, you know, I have complete respect to you.
No, but hey, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with aging. But the other thing is, I don't have a problem with, you know, I have some humility, and I'm very good about saying, you know, I'm not able to deal with this. I can refer to the other practitioners,
you know,
Peter DeMano, I know him, Joni Lair, Dr. Neidorf, all these guys, they are all skilled people. We have a lot of people in behavioral health. They just have just all kinds of people, and I refer to all these people all the time because, you know, it's not about me. It's about that person getting the help that they need in the most easiest, kind of smooth.
Effective.
Yeah. But it's, you know, seamless. That was a word I heard. You know, seamless. How you can just transition into this other service without a lot of hassle. And I have a story.
We appreciate you dropping stuff and coming aboard, though, today.
Hey, I'm glad to be here. You know, I love this community. I love your radio show. To be honest, you know, if somebody called me and said, hey, the radio's on, I would listen to it, but I just don't even remember. In the morning, I'm just like, you know, I got all this noise in my head.
We sell electrical devices that you implant that actually shock you at 7:30 in the morning on Thursday.
Okay.
To remind you to listen to the show.
But if you don't get a chance to hear us between 7:30 and 8:30, there's the podcast on kxoradio.com.
Great.
Go in there and click on the podcast, and Jim will be on there.
Yeah.
And Jim, you can listen to any of the shows that are up on that podcast at any time you want from the convenience of your computer.
Yes.
Well, you know, I'm not a techie. You know, but my wife will probably listen to all of them. No, I just don't have that internet attention span that a lot of people have. I go deal with the email, and then I just word process, and that's about it. But it's great that the people have access to information, and that, you know, and it's helpful information, it's accurate information. Bam, that can really, really prevent a lot of unnecessary suffering.
Again, helps drowning.
Do what?
Accurate.
Okay, accurate.
Yeah. Okay, accurately, we're way out of time. So,
accurately, I'm late for my next workshop.
And you're late. That's okay.
You're late.
That's okay. It's clinical harassment. I already know how to do that. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
And no over-the-air examples.
Thank you very much, you guys.
Thank you. And thank you all for listening.
One thing, if our listeners want to get information or your address and, again, your phone number.
Well, most people are going to call during the day. During the day, the number for Nora Munoz, she's in the office, is 353-7667. And her cell is 482-8732. The other number we have that's advertised for the Sunshine Counseling Center is 353-5059. So, you know, whoever you need to get in touch with, you know, one of those numbers. We'll get back to
I Googled, I needed Jim yesterday because I was going to send him the stuff about the show today. I Googled him. I got this home stuff, Andersburg stuff, like right there. So, no problem.
Jim, then you scare you.
Thanks for having more privacy.
Thanks a lot, you guys.
Hey,
take care.
You've been listening to Let's Talk About It, heard each Thursday morning at 7:30 a.m. on KUBO 88.7 FM, Radio Bilingue. Presented by Imperial County Behavioral Health Services and brought to you as a podcast by KXORadio.com.